The name is John Walden. I welcome you to our Bible study. We're in the book of Jude. We have been observing a great many serious warnings in the book of Jude concerning false teachers and wicked men who worm their way in among the people of God. And this is especially true as we come toward the end of this present age. We are nearing the return of the Lord, we believe. And this means that conditions are increasingly worse. It means that those who are against the Word of God are more blatant and more open in their opposition to God's things. But it means that we who are Christians have a greater responsibility and a much higher privilege of standing for the Lord in an evil day. There were a few godly people waiting for the first coming of the Lord Jesus. I trust you and I will be found among those who are really looking and waiting for his second return. Now we have reached verse 17. We read through verses 17 to 20 to 19 regarding the evil people and what was said about them, their own ungodly lusts. But now at verse 20, we have the third use of the word beloved. We saw it at the beginning, verse 4, at the beginning of verse 17, and now in verse 20 we read, "But ye beloved." Now the disjunctive "but" turns our minds away and our faces away from one thing to behold another thing. We saw in our last study how that the Lord has a great deal to say about what he has done for us as believers. In this section, we learn what God would like to have us as believers to do for him. What is the first thing that he wants us to do? Well, I believe by the very use of the term, beloved, he wants us to believe and enjoy our place as his beloved ones. You're not going to be much good for God unless you believe that God really loves you and that just at this moment, your Heavenly Father is doing the very best thing for you. These are the only Christians who really amount to much for God. Are you one of God's beloved? Whether you say, "I believe that God loves the world in general," well, have you appropriated this to yourself? Well, you say, "I don't just feel that I am worthy." Well, who is? God so loved the world, he took in all human beings. "Whosoever" is the word that takes us all in. If you have received Christ for your Savior, you are one of God's beloved. Don't let your feelings spoil what God says. After all, trusting your feelings instead of trusting the Word of God is downright unbelief, and it's dishonoring to God. My wife tells me that she loves me, and I say, "I don't feel that you do." I couldn't say anything to hurt her feelings worse. Don't trust your feelings. Remember that your feelings will go up and down like the thermometer, but the Word of God will never change. How do we know that we are saved? 1 John chapter 5 and verse 13 says, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life." Avoid legality. That is the spirit of, if I earn it, I think it'll be mine, but I'm not sure that I've earned it. You could never earn anything. You certainly couldn't earn God's salvation because we are not saved by works. We're saved by grace. You can't earn God's keeping power. We are kept by the power of God, and this is done irrespective of personalities or worthiness. Don't permit doubts to spoil your enjoyment of your place as God's beloved. Come into his presence with what he calls in the book of Hebrews, a holy boldness. Have liberty to enter into the presence of God. Come to him and call him Father, because he's given you this right. Now the second thing in verse 20 is that we are to build up ourselves in our most holy faith. We have been reading about the faith which was delivered to the saints. This is what we were told in the very beginning of this book, in verse 3, that we should contend for. God has given us his word. But you and I have the responsibility of building ourselves up on our most holy faith. That is, we must study the Word of God. We must memorize it. We must meditate upon it, and then, of course, we must share it with others. Now, we are not a Bible-reading people. When I was a boy, my father started this out. I was only 9 years of age when he started this out on a Bible-reading system that carried us through the Word of God once every year. At least once a year, you should go through the Word of God. Are you a Bible reader? Or do you just have that perfunctory one chapter a day with the family and then try to stay alive on that? But not only should you read it, you should study it. It should become a part of you. Much of this will be stored up in your memory. You'll meditate upon it. Meditation has been called the lost art. This is a shame, because it's only as we meditate on the Word of God, as the old cow lies down and chews her cud, only in this way do we really get the good out of the Word of God. Notice that he says you are to build up yourselves. You don't leave this to some one man who is hired by the congregation to do it. The first century had no such men. All the people of God were to function as a priesthood. Each member of the body had his gift, according to 1 Corinthians 12. And all the gifts were not embodied in one man who was hired to do it. You have a responsibility to get into the Word of God yourself. The third thing we're to do is to pray in the Holy Ghost. Notice this, in the end of verse 20, praying in the Holy Ghost. Now, first of all, this will entail our avoiding any grieving of the Holy Spirit. For we're told in Ephesians 4 and verse 30, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed unto the day of redemption. If you grieve God's Holy Spirit, he will not be able to lead you, to teach you how to pray. In Romans 8, we read, we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. The Holy Spirit will help you to pray if you maintain your position, that is, your standing with him, your state, rather, with him, as not grieving him. Well, you say, I have grieved the Holy Spirit. I have sinned against the Lord. Then the thing to do is to confess that sin. If we confess our sins, this is said to Christians, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so if you follow the Word of God as the Holy Spirit reveals it to you, you will have liberty when you pray. The Spirit of God can indict or put into your mind and lead you into the kind of prayers that he would like you to pray. You see, only the Holy Spirit of God knows what is best for you. You don't know. You may be asking for something which is not according to the will of God. You may be asking something which would not be good for you at all. But if you're willing for the Holy Spirit to lead you in your prayers, you'll find that more of your prayers will be answered. Then he says, keep yourselves in the love of God. Now, this doesn't mean keep God loving you, because God would never cease to love any of those whom he began to love. He had no reason to love you in the first place, and he'll certainly have no reason to stop. But it simply means to keep in the sunshine, as Dr. H.A. Ironside says of it. Keep yourself in the sunshine of God's love. The sun always shines, but if you hide out in some dark cellar, in the dampness, you're not going to enjoy that sunshine. Believe God's love and enjoy it. Then we're said to be, that we should be looking for his returning, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Now, I'm not looking to get eternal life. The gift of God is eternal life, and those who have received Christ are in possession of eternal life, but we are looking for God's mercy at his return in bringing us into the full enjoyment of this eternal life. This is our blessed hope. Are you looking for the Lord to come? Have you remembered even once in this last week, he might come, this might be the day? Well, there shouldn't be a day go by but what you would look up and long for his return. Then we're told to be compassionate about souls. Of some have compassion. He's told us about some people who seem very hopeless in this little book of Jude. But no soul is hopeless as long as it's alive. Be compassionate of souls. This was godlike. Of course you ought to be grieved by what you see, as Enoch was when he wrote that 15th verse, speaking of all the ungodliness of those who deny the Lord. But you should have a compassion for souls. and you should want to try to win these souls for Christ. You should pray definitely for souls. Pray for them by name. Widen your interest. Take an interest in all sorts of mission fields, the work of the Lord in this country and in other countries. And then he says, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Only God can save, in one sense, and yet in another, the Apostle Paul says that by all means I might save some. We can go, some of us, maybe only across the street, maybe across the ocean. We can pray, all of us. We can give. We can study the Lord Jesus' methods of soul winning. We can win some souls for Christ. And if you're not doing this, you're not an obedient Christian. We're left here with the responsibility to spread the good news to all those around us. The Lord help you to enjoy your salvation and to share it with someone else. Our Father, we thank thee for thy word. We thank thee for all that thou hast given us. We thank thee for any measure in which we've enjoyed it. We pray for those who have not yet received Christ. We pray for thy dear children that thou wilt encourage and help and lead on and supply every need. In our Savior's precious name we pray. Amen.